AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners' or renters' coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This episode of the Fighting God Podcast, we get through all of the misery by laughing. Oh, fuck. I've got the mic as well.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel turnip.
Cheers.
Status.
Episode. What is it? Episode
15.
Episode 15. Season 9 of the Fighting God Podcast. Literally last thing in the world I want to do right now is talk about Spurs because I don't have any answers. Joined today by T.
Hello.
And we've got Bardi.
Hello.
And me and Bardi are enjoying a lovely drop of Beaujolais.
Need it today.
Does it meet your standards? Because you're quite
not.
A snob, Bardi.
No, I'm not a wine snob.
I like a nice glass of Rouge. And some Aldi has a great selection of wine. Surprisingly,
that is true. Aldi are good for meats and cheeses and wine.
There you go. That's better turn that off. That's the culture out of the way. How are we going to fix our football club?
Fold. Yeah.
It's such a weird. Like it's. Do you know why this is so weird? It's because we've had it so good for so long. That's why this is so bad.
because, like, even the 7-2 against Bayern, I eventually found a way of accepting the fact that it had happened, no matter how painful it was. I found a way of reconciling that, yes, the performance somehow, right?
They scored almost every shot.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this. Me and Spooky did an hour of it on Skype the other last Thursday. But that won't help you now because, in a way,
it's got worse.
In a way, it wasn't the worst performance this week.
No, it's like I don't even know where to start. I thought, you know, sometimes you have to really bottom out. You really have to start stealing your mum's VHS, your grand's VHSs before you figure your life out. But it got worse on Saturday.
Is that something that happened to you?
No, but it's just, you know, it's a cliche. I've never stolen it.
No.
I did steal from my parents once.
Oh my God.
What did you steal? You haven't had a drink yet.
No, it was, my dad used to do a lot of cash jobs, and I knew where he kept his secret stash of cash.
Yeah.
And he lost count of what was there.
Of course.
So yeah, you take a fiver here and there.
Yeah, everybody took a little, you know, put around, yeah, in their mum's purse every now and then.
Exactly.
T, do you ever... Are you a thief as well?
I've got a clean shirt.
that's the right way to do. What we're not going to do tonight is talk about specifics of the game against Brighton, because it's clear, as a whole, it isn't right. And we need to look at this problem from top down, not just in the middle of these minutiae of performances. Because all of those poor performances, every ball that bounced off of Eric Dyer's knee... was a symptom of something that isn't right at the football club.
There was a moment where Lamella got tackled from behind on about 60 minutes or something, and he fell on the floor, and he was like a Dalek, and he couldn't get up. And I'm just like, this is Tottenham. We're on the floor, and our legs are underneath us, our arms, and we're just stuck.
Like a turtle.
Where are you at? No, turtle when it's back in the shell. Where are you at, T? What? How do you feel?
I didn't see the game, so I feel like
you're at a wedding, right?
Wedding rehearsal.
So like I said to you on the WhatsApp group, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is that we were awful.
But I'm a bit more pot-chinned than I would have been if I'd seen that game. If I'd seen that game, I would have been like, honest, bitted feathers, saying he's got to go.
Yeah.
It's time. But
Where are you all at the moment? You're still pot-chinned, aren't you? And give your reasons.
I am pot-chinned, but I feel we should be given a couple of windows. I think we just really got to just button that lever and to see the season through with him there. But the reality is of modern football is that he may not get that.
I think he might get that, as discussed on the previous podcast, because the compensation would be so high.
By mutual agreements and that, innit?
Yeah, if that has happened, the way that he would leave, if he'd had enough and Levy thought that it might be better that we moved him on, they'd find some sort of middle ground where they'd agree a compensation package, yep, right? Which I would imagine would probably be around 15, 20 million.
Yeah.
If it's 32 million as reported now, you'd think around that price we'd get rid of him. Go on, buddy.
I'm closer to potch out than I am potching, because I'm not one of these people that say we should get flags and posters and hire a fucking plane and this kind of shit. But I'm looking at it in how I look at it in football wise, and I can't see an escape route for him. I don't see him pulling this through anytime soon, and I think he has the grace to maybe do a mid-table season with us and really truly rebuild next year. But I don't know if my faith extends to him being able to rebuild this. That's where I am with this. I don't think he's got the energy, and I don't trust him to fix this. It's just a shame. I want him to turn around and fix this, because I really like him. And as much as I've taken the piss before about dodging trophies and stuff like that, it's just taking the mick. He's the best manager we've had. But I don't see a way out of him. I don't see a way out.
I want him to stay, but I don't know, and it's kind of blind faith that I want him to stay, because I don't know how he fixes the problems at the moment, because they're so gargantuan. And the issue, and I think the only way he can fix them is by doing something we're unable to do right now, which is sign players. And I'm not one of these people that go, just, you know, buy players, buy some fucking players, Levy. I'm not that kind of guy. But right now, that's exactly what we need. We need fresh blood and people that are going to be receptive.
The only way he can fix this is by removing the five or six players and then just whipping the living shit out of the other players. I'm making them play. Sanchez, Foyth, I guess Davies, Sessegnon when he comes back in, Skip, Ndombele. Why... But my problems with Pochettino is not this. It's a lack of a plan. It's a lack of a formation. It's a lack of a system. And he's continually flipping from one formation to the other. He throws Dier in, then he switches Dier into a back three, and then he starts throwing more attackers at the problem. He's still playing. He plays every game now like it's the final 5 minutes against Ajax, where it's chaos after chaos. And there's no system or structure to his game anymore.
Yeah, Gib one on Twitter. He says, "How fucked are we on a scale of one to one day Ramos? Does that mean one to one? Like one being the worst and one day Ramos being worse, meaning we're completely fucked? Is that the question?"
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, we're somewhere between one and one day Ramos. Yeah,
I'd say probably. I'm guessing Randy Ramos is 10, technically speaking.
I'd
say we're about a 7.
I say we're a Tim Sherwood.
Based on that performance alone, you'd say we're fucked, because Brighton shouldn't be beating us 3-0 any day of the week. It happens in football, but that wasn't an anomaly. That was a symptom of what was going on at the club. But I've seen enough this season to suggest that we're not completely fucked, and that that Poch will find a way of turning this round. And those moments are obviously the 4-0 against Palace, the first 30 minutes against Bayern,
which was amazing.
That's 120 minutes or whatever it was. That was only 120 minutes of football ago.
But I think the Palace 4-0 was a lot to do with us just having these amazing forwards, and they just went out and blew Palace out of the water.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything tactical, the first half an hour against Bayern Munich was.
Mm.
But then our legs fell out. It's like sometimes if you do a race, there's always one guy at the start who just burns it in the first couple of kilometres
and then runs out of gas. And that's exactly what happened in that game. We worked so hard in that first 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It seemed like we were just blowing out our arse in the second half.
It was Golovkin against Carl Brook, pretty much.
It was Jake Goody.
He went up two weight classes and got smashed up. But he won the first couple of rounds and then just got smashed.
That's
what that game was. I just feel that because the top two are so far away, it's a bun fight for all the other places.
Mm.
That's why I think it's a 7. It was a case where it was the old big four and they were like picking up points all over the place. I just think Arsenal, Chelsea and Man are the teams you're really targeting. They're not smashing it by any stretch of the imagination. Leicester are a couple of injuries away from being mid-table anyway. So
you've got a bugbear about Leicester, so we can't necessarily trust everything you say about them.
No, I mean, they're a perfectly good side, but and if they're going to be top four, this is the season they can do it.
Yeah.
But they're not. These teams are out of reach. We're 3 points off, is it third?
I don't know.
3 points off relegation, but 3 points off third. Let's look at that first half. So, you know, there's a couple of wins here and it's all solved.
Where are they coming from, though? Where are these wins coming from?
But I don't know, we can attack. We've still got the attackers. We just don't have the defenders.
Why are we conceding so many goals, buddy, in your opinion? One of the solutions that we came up with in the group was Eric Dier.
Everyone comes in like, why?
He was a large part of why we were so bad.
I think of centre-backs aren't what they were. I think Vertonghen is broken. He shouldn't play again. He should just be dropped. He has his body position and the way he holds himself reminds me of Ledley King when Grant Holt was running past him in those final games. He's got kind of a hunchback and he's always kind of squatting. So our defence isn't what it was. And we're too easy to play for him. Our midfield is non-existent.
But you wouldn't say our midfield is any lesser than Brighton. So why did they find it so easy to pass through ours?
They were much more compact. There was no space. We were so spread out across the pitch. Our defence is so bad, they'd keep dropping deep.
Because we abandoned the diamond, right?
We've abandoned everything. Pochettino is a man who grew up with principles of football and he's just abandoned it all, which is why I'm so upset.
But we were all calling for him to get rid of the diamond because it'd be better if we could be more expansive and play 2-3-1 in midfield and attack. And that goes some way to solving our problem. We were somehow worse when we didn't play the time.
But we started 1-0 down. That's the problem.
Well, this is it. This is fucking it, right? Under the cosh, we've just been smashed. Our biggest home defeat in the history of our football club. The first fucking minute of this football game, the ball gets looped into the air. all fucking Lloris has to do is tip it over the bar.
Or that's catch it.
Catch it. It wasn't even like a difficult ball. And he palmed it out. And I don't want to sound harsh. But if he'd applied the proper technique when trying to catch the ball, he probably wouldn't have fucking scrambled and broke his arm or dislocated his elbow.
It's true. If he'd caught it, he would have been fine.
He would have been fine because he would have tucked it in his chest and he would have landed on his side. But
do you think he just changed his mind in midair?
I don't know what he did. I can't explain it. I can't explain why he would just palm it a foot in front of himself.
This is the second time in two games he's shat the bed. But I think him breaking an arm is a lesson to him, you know.
It's a lesson.
Fucking make up your mind. Make up your fucking mind.
I thought he was faking it. I told you guys this little story when I was about 10 years old. I went to a roller skating party. It was like 10, you know, it was at a really posh house in a nice part of Mill Hill. And there was the patio and it had all these ornaments. And I was 10 years old and I was trying to show off to like the girls in my class. And I was going past these ornaments and opening my legs, so they were going under my legs.
Of course.
And of course, I was showing off, and I tried to showboat, and I clipped one with my knee, and it toppled and then went smash in pieces on the ground. And I could see the mum running out to the patio, like screaming, "What's happened?" So I rolled around on the floor, pretending that I'd done like my ACL, my ligament, on the floor, pulling out the tears. Oh, my knee, my knee.
You managed to cry?
I managed to cry because I was shit scared. And in the end,
so manipulative.
She called my mum. My mum had to come and get me. And I left the party early.
It's better that than...
So that's what I thought Lloris was doing.
I mean, as soon as you saw the first replay, it was clear it was horrible. It was a horrible injury.
I was in my car and I'm like saying, What's happened?
Yeah.
And I saw the screen. Like, yeah, that's all right. I don't need to see that again.
Is that a problem or not? I can't tell whether Lloris being out is a problem anymore.
It's no bigger problem than what we're facing right now.
It's a big problem because if Gazzaniga gets injured, then it's Alfie Whiteman.
He might be the problem.
Who might be better?
Do you know who he reminds me of? I don't know why.
Who, Gazzaniga?
No. Alfie Whiteman.
He's your kind of player, no?
Yeah, definitely. Proper English. He's got White in his name. Can't get better. He must be good. Ben Alwick. I don't know why.
Has he got a sex tape?
I don't know if he's got a sex tape. Probably not. I don't probably.
It's funny to find out.
Yeah, I hope so. But do you know what I mean? It's like this third choice, young, white,
working class
goalkeeper coming
good
in.
Catch.
Yeah,
solid.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. Look, he's going to be on the bench, and Gazzaniga is now our number one goalkeper
until
January.
Until January.
He's always been mediocre.
Gazzaniga, he's edging shit.
You're like you've gone to town on Gazzaniga already.
I went a while ago. I don't trust him. I don't trust him to catch. He's very good at kicking, which is fine, but I don't trust his shot stopping.
All right, fair enough. There's an article in The Athletic called I don't know what it's called. Mauricio Pochettino has lost the dressing room, but players
has not.
What?
Has not.
Oh, sorry. Mauricio Pochettino has not. I'm projecting here. Has not lost the dressing room, but players feel that they have nothing left physically or mentally to offer him or the club. Players are also unhappy that he does not change his methods.
This was the article before the one that everyone's read, so I don't know. I think the new one is a Jack Pitbrook talking about the methods and stuff.
What do you think of this opinion then that Pochettino hasn't lost the dressing room, but the players are just they've heard the same messages, they've had the same training.
I mean, we've all seen that graphic. I forget the number of players we have from is it 14-15 season?
15, yeah.
We've got the most out of the top six, I believe.
Yeah.
And the team just need a refresh. It's just very much shades of Liverpool after they got rid of Brendan Rodgers. I think there's only two players that survived. I think it's Lallana and Henderson that survived.
Yeah. Well, if you look at Arsenal, who won the FA Cup, I don't know, two years ago, 3 years ago, they only have one player left from that starting 11.
Who's that?
That's just... I can't remember.
Mustafi?
Xhaka, maybe. They've had such a turnaround of players, and we haven't had that.
Yeah. So it kind of feels like we're paying the price now for that inactivity in the window.
And that's why I don't think you should sack Pochettino, because I feel that we need to allow him to rebuild. But, I mean, you know, same time, maybe someone else can rebuild just as well. I mean, Pochettino's not God. He's not the best manager we can possibly ever have. But I feel he should be given the best possible chance to...
Turn it around.
...to fix this.
Yeah, he's earned it.
He's in credit. He's made... He's bought us that we're guaranteed Champions League finish. I mean, we've dreamt of that. So I think just like when Liverpool finished 8th, I think it was in Klopp's first season, I think maybe we've just got to suffer a bit just to try and get over the hump.
And if we're not finishing the top four, it's like 7th or 8th is where we need to finish. We don't be in that fucking Europa League. Right. We're like, imagine a season without European football, just playing domestic football.
And that's the most fun I've had. That's when we finished 4th, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, and the thing is this being unable to motivate players that have been there so long, that is on Poch. Your job as a manager or coach is to get the best out of your players, regardless of their situation. And if you're not doing it, you're failing. And it appears that he's not. Like, he's saying, like, the same messages, same training methods. Then change them for the players that have got bored of hearing it. Or it does. It's not even the case got bored. It's like, if you get told off by your dad, right? It's like if you get caught wanking when you're a kid, right? You get caught, you learn your lesson, right? And then you find another room to wank in, or wait till they're out. You learn how to avoid the message eventually, or you get caught wanking so many times you don't care anymore because I'm still going to wank. It's what I do, right? If I don't know where I'm going with
this. I'm trying to wank, that's what I'm doing.
But what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter how many times my dad tells me off for wanking, I'm still going to do it regardless of how he tells me off. Do you know what I mean?
But that's why I need to refresh the team. I mean, I don't... Well, obviously, it's on
his job though. To change it. My dad should come back with a stick next time. Yeah? Or a cattle gun. No, but eventually a cattle gun.
He has to make you not want to do it.
And eventually a knife, chop it off.
He has to make you not want to do it, though, as well.
Yeah. When you was a kid, did you ever feel guilty for self-indulgence?
No, never.
I mean, I get the moment of clarity after the thing. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. That's about it.
Also depends on the material.
What do you mean? Yeah, exactly. What do you mean? I shouldn't have done that.
It's always like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, I don't know. I don't really wank about the mirror or anything. Some of those things where you're thinking, what am I doing? I'm no better than an animal.
I imagine. What is the most natural thing? You don't worry. I imagine T's twist position while knocking one out is in front of a mirror, naked, with his arse in the air.
Yeah, it's like it's in my bum. See if it quits in and out. And I just,
just whispering, wink for me. Oh my God, that's sick. Do you think Mr. Sissoko's message after the game got quite a lot of traction? We retweeted it off Love the Shirt because it felt like honesty.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't have to.
It's multi-layered, this thing, because I don't know if you saw Aurier's message after, but he shut the comments down. So, I guess he didn't get the reaction that Mr. Sissoko got. And Kane is now our captain because Lloris is dead. He's not said anything.
Well, sometimes silence is better. Go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I believe all this propaganda. Mr. Sissoko seems like the... We're in a bit of trouble. So let's sign a contract. They look around the dressing room. Whose contract should they sign? And it's fucking Sissoko's like, oh, I don't know. Okay, let's sign Sissoko.
No, he deserves one.
Maybe, but I could sign someone else's, you know?
I will say something here that might be a little bit off. It was really well written. And I know people that are born in this country who don't write as well as that, grammatically. I'm not saying he hasn't grasped English, but I'm saying as a footballer, would he have that grasp of English, and has it been written by someone else?
He might have dictated it to someone, isn't it? And then someone just probably...
Which is fine, isn't it?
That's Latan's biography.
Yeah. Who, though? There's no one in the team.
He's got an agent.
Harry Winks.
He's an agent.
Harry Winks is studious.
Yeah, Ben Davies. Maybe they all wrote a piece.
Definitely ain't Harry Kane. He'll just be, oh,
let's go!
Let's get it! If Harry Kane is our captain till January, as he is...
Yes.
Will he see that as the onus is on him to fucking get, you know, slap some arses, do you think?
Yeah, but you worry about a Beckham against Greece type performance where he's out of position, he's all over the pitch making tackles, and obviously he's a hero at the end, and he equalises that free kick that got to the 2002 World Cup. But so Kane doesn't take on too much and does what he does best.
Yeah. What was Serge Aurier's message? It was similar to Sissoko's, is it?
Yeah, we've all got to stick together.
Yeah, not you.
You. Yeah. I didn't even play against Brighton, man. Shut the fuck up.
Sissoko can stick together. You have got to get the bins out.
He's an awful player.
Alaba's got a broken rib, by the way.
Who?
Alaba.
Who's Alaba?
The Bayern Munich left-back that he left a foot in on for them.
Oh, I remember that. So I was watching that, and I said to, did he stay on the pitch?
He came up at half time.
And then Thiago
turned the game for us. For fuck's sake!
Yeah, so Serge Aurier's probably like largely due to him that we lost 7-2. I watched it at the time and I went to Ricky, he stamped on him, he's come down with his studs
there.
I haven't seen the replay. Have you seen it?
No, I'm not watching
it. I didn't have to jump over him, but it didn't look good.
Joe, all I want, boys, all I want, I don't care if Tottenham are good again, I don't care if we finish in the Champions League, I don't even care really if we finish above Arsenal ever again. I just want to watch Match of the Day once in a while.
Yeah,
I wasn't watching it.
That's all I want. You know how good it is. 10:30, you've been on the beers.
Yeah.
Especially if you've watched football today. You're sitting down, you're in your pyjamas or boxers, whatever you like. And you're on the... yes! I love this. I haven't had that since January last year.
Yeah. I watch Match of the Day Sunday morning. So I get out of bed early, leave my wife in bed, and I have some like man time, alone time.
Yeah,
and I can't do it now.
What are you going to do?
Fucking don't do anything.
Go for a run or something, don't you?
I go for a run. Normally I watch Match of the Day, then go for a run. But now I don't know. I just talk to my wife.
How's that going?
It's all right. Yeah. It's not bad. She fucks off. She goes, "Oh, you're not using the front room. I'm going to go meditate." And I just, I don't know. Then I'm trying not to go for a wank. If I'm left alone for 10 minutes, my thoughts turn to my dick.
Screaming like Lexington Steel while he's having cracking one.
Is that the case for all men, do you think?
I think so. As soon as you're left alone, your thoughts go to your dick.
The occasional time when I used to work from home at Ball Street, my wanking activity would go up by about 300%. 400% actually, but since leaving, and obviously I work from home every day now, it's very normal. I don't walk around wanking all day.
Well, because you're not often left. It's very often you're at home alone.
Yeah, so it's like a surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a treat.
It's a treat. What am I going to do? Do you know what? I haven't had a wank. I haven't had a wank sober in years.
Oh my god.
And that's not saying I'm an alcoholic. I'm saying that. I haven't, what am I saying? I'm saying that the only time I get the urge is if I've had a couple of beers. Whereas I'm not like, I know people who wake up in the morning, first thing they do is not one out.
If I'm at home then, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Time allows.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, it's Spurs. let's get through this.
Yeah, all right. Clandestino on 123 on Reddit. He's got a few questions, right? These are from him or from you?
That's just all him. The rest of...
Okay, fair.
He's just got one point.
Fair enough. Given the contract situations of certain players and the financial impact of players leaving on a free, do you think Poch has been given the full freedom to decide who is dropped to the reserves, or does Levy have an influence in this space? So that's an interesting question because, like, some of us have talked about Eriksen leaving, so should he be dropped? Same with Vertonghen and Alderweireld.
Yeah.
But if you want to sell him in January, then you need them playing, right?
I don't think Eriksen's lack of form from now until January will affect his transfer value. If Dembele gets sold for 10 million and his contract's running out, I think we could probably get 20 to 30 million for Eriksen in January.
Would you take it now?
I think we should take it.
Doing nothing at the moment.
I'd take him. I don't think he's going to go in January. I think he'll see it out.
Well, if he sees it out, he's going to earn more money, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Then in that case, I personally believe that any player who's on the last season of their last year of their contract and they're not performing, just put them in the reserves. Fuck them. That's it.
It's very expensive for the club, though, to do that.
The club should have sold them. The problem is the club shouldn't have allowed us to get in this position with players in their final year. It's what Arsenal have been doing.
But we were in a difficult situation where you can't finance the team and finance the stadium at the same time with no idea what the upper level of the cost would be. This is what people are forgetting is we, for whatever reason, we went in to build this stadium and it was a gargantuan cost, double what was initially projected, I think. You can't have that and have... You know, re-upping the first team. You can't have both those things.
It's not a problem now. It's been refinanced that even if we don't make the Champions League,
it's definitely not a problem.
It's okay.
The problem we find ourselves in now is because of that. And when you're walking into the stadium, to some degree, the novelty has worn off since that absolute...
From the Palace game.
The Man City game.
Since the Bayern game, the novelty has worn off, hasn't it?
Well, we haven't been back since.
Well, it's just
some have NFL.
It's like It's like moving into a new house, your brand new house, and you love it. You spent all your life saving for it. You move in, and a burglar comes in and touches your front bum. That's what it's like. Do you want to go back to that place? You've got to move out, surely.
Yeah. I mean,
we need a new stadium.
I think since...
Just go back to Wembley. Yeah. BC Grand Slam Callum on Twitter tweeted me saying it was all right at Wembley. Wembley wasn't too bad. We were getting results.
Should we go back to Wembley for a Champions League game?
I think so.
I think the last player of any note who left Spurs in a free was, you know, Sol Campbell. And we kind of swore not to let that happen again to any player of any importance. And we're facing that happening with a couple of players now, including Eriksen. And it's easy for me to say. I'm not the one who's responsible for millions of money, millions of pounds, and millions of pounds of resources in terms of players and assets, sorry, not resources.
Definitely.
So it's easy for me to say, well, we should have sold him in the summer, but the fact you've got Wanyama, Oye, and Eriksen, you could have at least sold two out of those three. For fuck's sake, come on.
Mm.
Come on. Yeah. It can't be that hard. Yeah. Well, I can't do your job leave. I'm going to say, come on.
why weren't they moved on? Just overvaluing our players?
Overvalued. I know Victor Wanyama thought maybe we can resurrect his Spurs career. But did
Victor Wanyama not perform adequately when he came in towards the end of last season? Yes, he did. Is the answer?
He was all right. He was okay. He did get hauled off at half time at Ajax away.
He had the Huddersfield goal, which
don't
is
remember that.
Through.
We forgot that one. Yeah, the Huddersfield.
The thing is,
they were like a relegated Huddersfield as well, weren't
it? It took Spurs, I don't know, 18 months to sell Janssen. And in the end, we sold him for £6 million.
How's he getting on?
Scored a couple of goals.
Yeah, I don't know.
For the Mexican League, isn't it?
When people leave Spurs, they kind of die for me. So as much as I love Pochettino, when he leaves, he's dead. I don't care about him anymore. But we need to sell players better.
All right. We're going to break now for the first half. We're going to have Windy. And then we're going to continue this discussion about how we fix... What are we doing here?
How do we unfuck it?
How do we unfuck something? This is the thing. Is once something is fucked, you can't unfuck it. It's impossible. It's technically impossible. Once it's fucked, it's fucked.
Well, you can do it. You can cuddle it and tell it some reassuring things.
Once aftercare.
Once you put your...
Clear the tears.
Once your dick's in, that's fucked. Now... Not going to get unfucked, is it?
If you go to court, you're fucked as well.
I'm not talking about a sexual assault here. I'm just talking about a completely consensual situation.
Okay.
Why is that your go-to thing all the time?
Yeah. Windy, about to drop the fucking knowledge, blood. I see you, I got your back.
Hi, this is Windy, back with the less than weekly youth updates, looking at our young players and players out on loan. I hope you're very well. Not good news, really, on the youth and loany player front, so it's pretty much going just as badly as the first team right now. I'll start with the under-18s. So an under-19 team lost 4-1 at home to Bayern last Tuesday, and it was quite a disappointing performance, really. The team selection... I wasn't impressed, to be honest. It was a very unbalanced team. We had Harvey White playing at left back once again, which doesn't suit him. He has been filling in for the injured Dennis Sirkin, who I'm pleased to say returned, and he came on in that second half there. And White's going into midfield certainly helped to some degree. But Bayern picked us off at every opportunity and were very impressive. We were far less than impressive. They then lost 4-2 this weekend at home to Villa. Another disappointing result. And in the under-23s, it's not much better, sadly. So the last match, we went down 4-1 to Brighton away. And we play in what was the Checkatrade Trophy. So it's now called the leasing.com trophy. We'll play Colchester away on Tuesday night, the 8th of October. If you are near Colchester, you can get a ticket there for £12. Kick off 7:30, so go along and support our under-21 team. In terms of loanees, there's not a great deal going on because lots of our players aren't getting in. But Jack Rowles did score and get man of the match for Cambridge United this weekend just gone. He scored a lovely goal. It was a kind of half volley from about 30 yards out, which found the bottom corner. It was a really... really clever strike from Rolls, who caught the keeper off guard. And you can see that on the Sky Sports website. I also tweeted that. So if you look down my timeline, you'll see Jack Rolls' goal. He's gone down an absolute storm with the Cambridge United fans. They really like Rolls, so that's good. Elsewhere, Jack Clarke has not really been making the Leeds bench too often. They've got too many low knees, basically, so that's slightly problematic. Luke Amos has been missing out for QPR through injury. Cameron Carter-Vickers has been playing for Stoke, but apparently not that well. Keziah Sterling has been injured recently for Doncaster. George Marsh was in the Leyton Orient team, but has been demoted recently to the bench. And Anthony Georgiou has found himself mostly on the Ipswich bench. So that's it for this week. If you're interested in more young players, follow me on Twitter at WindyCoys. That's Coys for Come On You Spurs.
General conversations. Stambouli left Tottenham for PSG. They signed him.
I don't believe you.
I don't know if he started a league game, but he's definitely...
fuck's sake.
Then he went to Schalke.
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on it. No, fucking true. He played 27 games.
I am. He played 27 games.
I'm showing Bardi, my phone shows Wikipedia, that he in fact did join PSG from Tottenham.
Stambouli's won more things. Stambouli's won more things.
He played more games for Barcelona than did for us, I bet.
For PSG.
He did play twice the amount.
Twice the amount. I remember meeting Stambouli and Vertonghen in Gilgamesh. You met them in Gilgamesh?
I bumped into Dembele, Vertonghen and Bentaleb maybe 3-4 months later.
In Gilgamesh?
In Gilgamesh.
They fucking love that place. Gilgamesh is like a club / restaurant in Camden. It's not even like banging. It's like, it's just a club that... average people go
to. It's got an escalator to get up there. I don't rate any club that has an escalator.
Yeah, no, there's no classy place in the world that has an escalator
in
it. You take the steps.
Or a lift.
or a lift, yeah.
We'll see through lift.
With a man who presses the buttons for you. Not a fucking escalator.
But yeah, you need a man in there who does the buttons for you.
Yeah.
Does the buttons. Or the odd job from James Bond.
Yeah.
Just pushing the buttons.
Or you just tell the guy downstairs what floor you want to go to and you get in and it takes you there.
That's the thing, is that with these like high class clubs, the lift operators have got to know some sort of self defence.
Yeah.
Like odd job. Yeah. Like he can throw his hat. Yeah. That was his other skill.
And they're the final buffer. If you get past the lift man, you're in.
You're in. You got ID or not.
You can disappear in the crowd. In.
I met Stambouli and Vertonghen, and they were sitting there, and Chadley was in there at the same time. And I'm sure I told this story on this pod before, but. It was during a period of my life where I was taking lots of mind-altering substances, right? And they came in, and because I had the confidence of these mind-altering substances, I could go and just speak to them and ask for a photo. And the tongue of them was sound, but both of them a bit standoffish.
Yeah.
And I think it was the week after Stambouli had played a beautiful ball out to whoever our right back was at the time. We played Dnipro.
It feels like a European game.
Yeah, it was.
Probably Norton.
And I saw Chadley over the other side, and I was like, well, I've done these two. I'm definitely going to have a word with Chadley. I went and said hello to him, and he offered me a seat in his little booth and a drink. Like, what a lovely, lovely man. And I said to him, this must have been a year, in the same sort of period as the Dolphin stuff came out.
Yeah.
And I asked him about the Dolphin, because this is something you came up with, T.
It was, yeah.
He's got the body of a dolphin, it's all smooth.
Smooth, yeah.
And he looked at me like I was fucking insane. it's obviously his team around it grabbed onto the dolphin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he used to, after he tweeted, he put a little dolphin on.
Or his team, did he tweet that? Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, he was lovely. He was very, very sound. What else we got here?
So a bunch of questions that I kind of put in after in quick succession. Yeah. So I guess the main two are, what do we think the club will do, or what do we think the club should do?
Go on, buddy.
I think the club will give Pochettino time. They won't fire him. And I think they will ride it out and trust him and then hopefully support him in January with the players and the decisions.
How many players do we need to sign in January? And it's not just any players. We need to sign. Actually, it kind of is any players, isn't it? It's anyone who's going to be receptive to Pochettino's ideas.
Do you remember back in the days when Spurs had to sign bare players? There was one January, at least before we won the Carling Cup, and we signed Woodgate, Hutton. In Gilberto, and someone else whose name I've forgotten.
Yeah.
So maybe we do that, man. Just go ham in January.
I remember Hutton lifting the League Cup 3 games after he signed.
Yeah. He was good in your first joint.
Yeah, he was all right. Woodgate was immense.
It was also in under Redknapp when he came in and took over after Ramos. He just signed back Chimbonda, signed back Keane. Maybe.
And Defoe.
Maybe we're going to sign Kyle Walker again in January.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Would you take that?
100%. Yes. His right backs are trash.
I'd take Trippier. Give me Trippier back.
Yeah, could you imagine
I'll take Gianluca back, man.
Can you imagine that phone call? Kieran, it's Daniel. So sorry about what happened in the summer. Can you come back? How deep are you into this contract? Are there any clauses in this contract? You got a release fee? £80 million, right, we'll pay it. Come back. Carl Walker hasn't been playing for Man City, right?
He has.
He has been playing.
Cancelo played at left-back yesterday.
So why is he going to leave then? He ain't going to leave. He's not coming to
Arsenal. Dreams, man. Got a dream.
got to make his dreams come true.
You got to, man. Speak into existence.
So would you sign Carl Walker?
Because our right-backs is probably the worst position in our entire squad, I would take him over any of them. But in reality, no, he's 30 next year, so...
I remember a tweet Nathan A. Clark put out, and he put it up. He put our first team considering all the players we'd signed, and at right back he just wrote LMAO.
He's right.
And at the time I was like, I don't know if he was, but I was sort of aiming this at Windy. You were backing Kyle Walker-Peters all this time. He's got his chance now. He should play. So why are you like putting LMAO where on the position where he plays? As it turns out, we've had 5 players play right back, yeah. And 3 of those players aren't right backs. And if you had he hasn't played yet. He ain't played this season, but they're not right backs.
they're all dog meat, mate.
Well, as right back,
yeah.
I think we should just press ahead with Kyle Walker-Peters. That's what my decision would be.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
It can't get any worse than Aurier was awful against Bayern.
I feel that Kyle Walker-Peters will do what you want him to do. You know when you know you're in a gang and you've got a little kid who just runs around, so you know what, come here, mate, look, do a bit of spying over those people over there, tell us what they're saying. That's Kyle Walker-Peters right now.
Yeah.
Just look, follow Sterling around the pitch, don't matter if you're out of position, Sissoko will cover you, just do that. That's what Kyle Walker-Peters is. Aurier is one of those kind of rogue guys who would kill someone by mistake. You know, like in, was it a Pulp Fiction where they shot the guy in the car by mistake? Yeah. You got to clean the car. That's Aurier. But Walker-Peters is really helpful. You know,
Love on Obey?
Yes.
At the end where they chuck the guy out the window. and after feeding him chunky.
Dog food.
We are right back. We could put a can of chunky at right back and it would do a better job than anyone who's played there.
That's actually one of the questions we've got.
What was that?
Hang on.
Harry Kane dog on Reddit, he says, would Spurs be better or worse with Flav's dog at our right back? Assume that Flav has only trained Frank to only go after the ball when our opponents have it, but won't be any use of us in the attack. Frank would do a good job at right back. I mean, he'd be all over the place and he wouldn't give up. And he would. The only person on that pitch that would run more than Frank would be Ericsson. It'd be less effective.
Put a heat map on him. Just give him one of those like vests.
Yeah. Although I've seen him collapse a couple of times when we're on a long walk. He kind of gives up. I love that dog so much. The right back situation is a problem. And Wendy believes that the Kyle Walker-Peters isn't injured.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He just isn't in the squad.
The only injured players...
clearly not good enough.
The only injured players were Lo Celso and Sessegnon.
So where was he? Why weren't he in the team?
Aurier was suspended. Danny Rose was dropped from the 18, as was Walker-Peters from the 18.
I think Walker-Peters has got a drug problem. It's the only way why he keeps missing out on matchday squads.
Or he's a nunt.
There's a darkness there. Because it doesn't make any sense of why he would play Sissoko at right back.
Even in the press conference, he said, I'm going to put Sissoko at right back. What does that do for an actual right back?
And it also makes me question Kyle Walker-Peters as a human being. What the fuck are you still doing at Spurs? Because you can't sell anybody. That's why he's stuck.
Yeah, I've tried.
I've tried to get out of it.
They basically offered me around for free, but they can't fucking push it through. I like the fact that with the hindsight we have right now, Serge Aurier's comments after the window closed. the club trust me. The club trust me. That's why they kept hold of me. That's what his words were, verbatim, right? And you've nearly killed a man in Alabama. You've nearly killed our chances of staying in the Premier League by getting sent off against Southampton.
And ruined our Champions League night.
Yeah, you've we can't trust you.
You've ruined everything. You just ruined it.
And you sent that tweet after the game saying we've got to stay together. No, just understand the shit that's going around you.
He's the sort of man that would fall through a birthday cake at a party, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And before you'd even surprise your mum, you'd just fall over through the fucking door and fall over the cake.
Yeah, yeah, he'd trip and fucking smash it.
Do you remember when we were linked with Zaha and he put a post out on Instagram of an eagle and a picture of Zaha? Yeah. Like, he's coming. He's not coming, shut up.
You're cursed. Yeah. He's just cursed.
He's cursed, yeah. He's the kind of guy that would touch up the mother-in-law at a wedding.
Yeah. I never even realise he's a mother-in-law, you know. His wedding.
Well, you haven't asked this question, T. What should the club do and what will they do? So you're saying we should keep Poch. What do you think will happen?
A couple of windows. I think I reckon the trigger might get pulled before January.
Really?
If it carries on as it is, I think the club might panic.
Yeah, because it's not panic though. If it carries on, you know how many games are now in January.
And we've got Liverpool.
It's not panicking if we're still playing like this.
We've got Liverpool in 2 games' time as well away. But I just think in this climate, everything is just so magnetised. Everything's so reactionary. You look at the comments of I'm talking about Man U now. I'm talking about Redknapp's comments about Solskjaer yesterday, talking about how can he manage United? He's managed Cardiff and Molde. And I'm thinking, well, you didn't say this in the early doors.
Yeah.
Then you've got people saying stuff about Tottenham now, saying, oh, you know, we reached the Champions League final. And to be fair, we were lucky to get there. Because in hindsight now. But no one said that at the time.
Would you watch a homemade porno with your mum in it?
No.
Absolutely not.
Good. Are you going to watch the Liverpool game?
I got a funny feeling.
You know what, I do too. That's what supporting Spurs is about.
Yeah. Do you know what, I do too. I'm going to go out there and get a result.
We played Arsenal in their invincible season. And I thought, might be able to do something here. This is the best team I've ever had. It's one of the worst teams we've had. I thought, you know what?
We can do something here.
Can you imagine? It'd be quite nice if we end their run. What I don't want to happen is the game before we played them for them to lose. That, honestly,
yeah.
If they do that,
I've got Man U, so that'd be interesting.
If they do that, cancel. Because this is what Man United.
Definitely going to beat Man United.
Man United fans are now thinking exactly the same.
Somehow, Man United are in a worse situation than we are.
Yeah,
they are. What I worry about, right? What a little bit of me worries about, is that they'll pull the trigger first, and they'll get the best available manager first. If we pull the trigger now, at least we get the option on what's
some supermarket sweep type shit.
Exactly. let's put the bullet in back of Poch's head.
Double tap.
just so Man United can't get there first. Because we're a bigger club than them at the moment, so we've got to pull the trigger first.
Maybe you just found it in this hotel room.
Do you remember last season when you said you were tired of talking about the same things, the same players, the same systems?
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. There's a lot of content, man.
Yeah. I've enjoyed this podcast more than any we've done in recent years. The thing is, there's only so many times you can talk about... I guarantee we've laughed more in this podcast than the game against when we smashed Everton 6-2, which was one of the greatest performances over six. Mm. But after that, we're amazing. How many times can you say we're amazing? This is where the gold is, gents.
It's true.
It's
the gallows humour.
It's understanding that everything's going to shit, but together our bond, our football club, unites us, and we'll find a way through it.
And this is why I'm really scared about being tied to the Poch out movement. I don't think I'm like a spiritual leader, but I know I'm a bit Poch out. But I don't want to be with Poch out. You know what I mean?
I understand completely because I get gammon thrown at me quite a lot, right? What you have to do to be okay with that, because it's quite a horrible thing to throw at someone who, by and large, politically quite left-wing, right? Mm. Is embrace it. Just take it on. It's like, yeah, do you know what? Tommy Robinson does have some good ideas. That's what you just got to hold on to that.
Tell you what, yeah, maybe find that flag and drape yourself in it.
No.
And walk around in 17.
The Poch out flag. So we haven't talked about this, but there was someone who had produced the Poch out flag.
Me.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't you. The person who produced it, I don't know who they are directly, but I know that they're like you know,
they can handle themselves.
They can handle themselves, right? And it was posted on Twitter, and someone tweeted afterwards, said something along the lines of, anyone who wants to come pull this flag down or have a word, like, we're fucking ready for it. because I reckon people might have been saying, like, oh, fuck this geezer, he's a prick, he's embarrassing, but they're like, all right, come try and take it off us. Because the problem is once someone has an idea about, like, maybe Watch Out, which is quite advanced, you know, before the general sentiment of Tottenham isn't about getting rid of Poch. But they're, like, going early because they want him out, right?
Yeah.
But if they can have a little... If they're up for a scrap as well, that makes them in a very powerful position because no one can take the flag off.
That reminded me of something. When we played Arsenal at Wembley... Mm. Has it been twice we played Arsenal at Wembley?
Yeah.
It is twice. So both of the kids have seen these really hench black guys wearing Arsenal shirts just, like, walking through our fans. They just say, what, if you want to fucking have it, I'll have it.
And they get away with it.
Yeah, of course. Just like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, this is the thing, is that everyone likes to think that they can handle themselves, but when the situation's put upon them, and even like an Arsenal fan's walking through a crowd, isn't it a situation where you should be getting into a ruck?
Yeah.
But if they're double your size, you just think better of it, don't you?
Yeah, unless they've had a bit of gear and a bit of alcohol, then maybe fancy chances.
I didn't see them, so I didn't get involved.
I didn't go at all.
What else we got here? Max Allegri. Is that right?
Go on, buddy.
Max Allegri,
this is former Juve, won the triple three times in a row?
I think he won maybe four or five titles in a row.
Titles in a row, plus domestic trophies, gone to the Champions League final.
Yeah, plus he won the league in Milan as well.
He's in pole position to take over from Pochettino should he leave his job.
He's the probably him and Mourinho are the highest quality managers currently unemployed.
Would you take Mourinho?
Hang on, what about Wenger? Are you on about people who can manage Spurs?
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger actually is one more than all of them, right?
Put together. Not really joking.
No, I don't think
no, he's not.
Is there a world where Arsene Wenger manages Tottenham?
No.
Would you take him to? Just for a laugh.
See what happens.
Just to see what happens.
It's like a double drop.
He comes out with, like, holding up the Spurs shirt. Arsenal fans like, what have you done?
The Oyster card.
And then he comes out and goes, fuck you, Arsenal. You remember how much grief you give me? You put me through the fucking ringer. Now I've come to Tottenham.
And he spent the whole last 2 years studying French football. He turns up with the fucking new Vieira, the new Omri, the new Anelka, right. And all of a sudden we just start smashing up
Arthur's grandson next to him.
I've got a question, right? If Arsene Wenger took over from Pochettino now and we won the league next season...
I wouldn't care. I'd take it.
Somebody tweeted us today. One of the questions was, would you accept Sol Campbell as our manager if he won us the league this year?
No, I wouldn't that. But that, Sol Campbell's one thing. Arsene Wenger's something else. And just like people listening, we're not taking this seriously because we're in an enviable position of it never happening.
We've had balloon gas.
But really. Hypothetically, if it did and he won the league next season... You'd have to.
Sing his name.
You take it.
Man in a trench coat, blue and white army.
And this is the thing, that's the kind of foundation here, is that we've had this before.
Wenger comes in January, we win the FA Cup, gets all the fans on side.
Or get him on side.
Signs the new Anelka, new Henry, and we smash up the league.
Then he gets shot in the head.
And then he retires, then he steps away saying, I'm done. What I can do.
And you look at the position that Pochettino's in at the moment and the criticism and the pressure that's on him. Arsene Wenger did this for 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. And the only reason that Arsenal fans wanted him out is because they didn't know what else to say. And you've seen since Arsene Wenger's left that Emery isn't any better. You know, their points are almost identical. So I'm saying what a good manager he is. And if you had to choose between Allegri, Mourinho, or Arsene Wenger, who do you take, Bardi?
Allegri, to be sensible.
I'll just copy Bardi.
I don't know anything about him. I think maybe he won the league those times because who else wins the league in Italy?
A little bit is true, but he did come up against Sarri's amazing Napoli team and still came through. The thing about Allegri, he has, at least he has a semblance of a plan, which is my biggest thing that I have with Pochettino at the moment.
Can he speak English?
I think so. I think he's been taking English lessons.
Have he?
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think he can speak a bit of English. Enough.
So, like, what are his qualities? What do you bring to Tottenham? Discipline.
This is a good racism. A little bit of racism.
What?
You know, cliches.
Discipline. A little bit of fascism.
He knows how to handle. won a couple of World Cups. Right?
Yeah. I know a few players that'd be out the door first before Vertonghen.
Who's that?
He'd definitely want Sissoko out. Wouldn't trust.
Well, the thing about
Aurier would be gone. Sanchez would be gone.
Allegri's been good at handling.
Dombele, no, don't care.
Sanchez.
Sanchez would be gone.
He got a good tune out of Pogba. Which
Tanganga would never see a minute of football.
he got a tune out of Pogba. He knows how to. He believes in his style of play, and he would do
okay. Saying you got a tune out of Pogba is like saying you got a tune out of a perfectly a good violin.
Well, Pogba's been pretty average for 3 years.
Because he's been managed by an elf.
And before that, he wasn't great either.
No, I suppose. But he was their best player last year. So in Allegri, we probably won't get him.
No.
He would come to Arsenal. We're significant enough for him to come, right?
But that's Potter's legacy, is that he's put us in a position where we can get an Allegri. Could you imagine Allegri taking over Spurs before...
Well, he was linked when he was fired by...
It wasn't
Milan.
Serious, though, was it?
There was a serious link.
It was a serious
link. If you go on the Fighting Cock forum and search...
No, because you tweeted, you fucking posted it yourself.
If you go on the Fighting Cock forum and search, there's even a post where I say I don't want Allegri, he's a fraud.
You?
Yeah, I replied.
You know what? It's an anagram of Bardi. That's the username of the person who posted that rumor.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably not even worth talking about, really.
Replacements, no. It's a difficult one to call. And the thing is about all these Poch inners, they keep saying, who's going to replace him?
Let's call them what they are, Remainers.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like Brexit. They don't know what to execute it. So.
Rodgers.
There's... Ooh, Brendan Rodgers. He's not a leave. He's Leicester, is he? It's just like, why would he? He's got a brilliant squad there. We've got garbage. We're like, it's like, it's Leicester, he's got like... For a roast dinner, and then look at Spurs, and it's like the juice at the bottom of the bin.
A nut roast.
It's bin juice.
Spurs are bin juice. That's the name of the pod, isn't it? Bin juice. I saw something, I don't know where I saw this, it might have been a tweet we got sent in. It was that the last time Pochettino, actually it might be bankrupt Spurs, actually, on Twitter, he said the last time Levy was... given a time to properly recruit a manager, we ended up with Jack Santini.
Yeah.
Which at the time made a lot of sense.
It did make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I don't think he's been completely serious about that tweak. It doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah.
But does it not make sense?
Well,
what?
I mean, it's 15 years ago. I mean, Spurs have... There's a bit like, you know, you go into Selfridges.
But he's also...
You've got more of a choice of stuff to buy. You're in that pound shop.
Yeah.
You're taking randoms, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, the other time he's properly calculated... decision to hire a manager probably is Ramos, isn't it?
And Poch,
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of the...
Ramos, and don't forget, Poirier is...
What we also said a lot was Levy's better decisions have been foisted upon him, but Pochettino wasn't one of them. So we stumbled upon Redknapp and Yol because they both came mid-season off the back of when the performing manager, so...
Well, Yol was assistant to Santini.
Yeah.
But they had the acumen to understand that this guy had quality. And you think back at Yol's reign at Tottenham, as much as we loved him because he was a lovable character, compared to elite managers around the world, he's a little bit of a joke.
Yes.
He did Dutch Harry Redknapp a little bit.
Yeah. But you loved him. You know, he's a lovely guy. And one day I'd love to have a sit down and chat with him, but... Yeah, do you know? I was invited to do this thing with Talksport last week after the 7-2 game, not before, as like a preview to the Brighton game, and I met Jamie O'Hara.
Yes.
What a sound human being that guy!
Really?
Because you know you have misconceptions about him. You know Daniel Lloyd and
Billericay.
Billericay. He's now the manager of Billericay, and the fact that the you know. You just got rinsed by Leon Knight on Twitter and all that stuff. And he was absolutely top draw. I'd love to have a conversation with him for the pod. We will. What we got?
Question,
what did you say?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to throw his name in the hat as possible replacement.
Well, he's doing a good job, Billericay. Two draws, one win. and no budget.
Win percentage.
Yeah. Question. So Dom Signor on Twitter, he says, you're each staying at another pub member's house sitting and a fire starts. What treasured heirloom or keepsake do you rescue for your mate?
I'd rescue your dog.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's an easy one.
I'd rescue your missus. What about my missus? I'd rather have my missus than my dog. Well, because she ran out herself, right?
No, it's too women easy. Are capable. Too easy.
Your dog is your brand, mate. You're getting loads of retweets on posting dogs.
Frank-a-dank-a-dank. That's what you call him.
See?
I love him. I've been away from him for 4 days.
This is the presumption that your missus and your kids save themselves, obviously.
Of course. I've been away from my dog for 4 days, and the missus and the kids. And I've got to be honest, it's Frank that I'm thinking about. Just give him little belly ones.
He's thinking about you as well.
I know.
He doesn't know where you are.
I know. And I'm the one that takes him out for big long walks. Where I live, they're all terrified of him because he's a staff, and they obviously read the Daily Mail and that. There, that's like the only paper that gets sold in devices is the Daily Mail. It's easily the top. So local people had to vote Conservative to keep UKIP out. That's how.
Oh my God.
That's how like right wing it is where I live, which I like. I feel comfortable there. I'm among my own people. But when I walk along, like the people that they're like pull their dogs, their miniature schnauzers and dachshunds or whatever they're called out of the way. Whereas Frank just sort of charges along, but he's made friends with a pug called Gremlin.
Oh, nice!
And they run together in the woods,
nice.
And it's a lovely, lovely thing.
What's Gremlin's owner like?
He's all right. He's like I reckon UKIP.
Yeah.
Yeah. UKIP / BNP, but not like in the conventional way. You know, like in American History X, where the Utes shave their heads.
Yeah.
But when you outgrow that and you have a normal haircut, but you're still a proper racist.
Yeah.
That's him. Like, he would be like general of and he's not said anything. I've only like really had small talk about the dogs, but that's the vibe. That's the vibe I get off him.
Just reeks of it.
Yeah, Gremlin.
I don't know what I'd say if I'm Bardi. I'm not going to say the missus because she saved herself. That's a presumption. A
Fitbit.
Maybe a coffee maker. Because it's such a coffee snob. I'd say it's coffee maker.
Sorry, Strava watch. What have you got?
Polar.
What's that mean?
It's the brand.
Is it a good brand?
That's good. It's decent.
How much was it? How much was that watch?
$250.
Save my
wedding book too if you're ever there.
What's the wedding book?
My wedding album.
Oh, the picture album?
Yeah, the photo album. Save that.
You ever got a digital or anything?
Yeah, but my wife loves the paper one.
Do you reckon you'll ever do anything in your life will mean you could never look at that book again?
I may have done stuff, which means I can't look at it properly. But what the question is, do you think I will ever have done something to make my wife not look at it like that? That's the question.
You just think of, remember Summer Heights?
Summer Heights High?
Yeah, when a bloke puts his cock out in all the pictures. He found out something in the corner of all the wedding pictures. Can you imagine?
I stumbled upon a whole genre of porn where there's a guy with his cock out on the train. Just I kind of got into changing room sex. Like,
what do you mean? Where changing rooms is in the old ITV program.
Like someone goes to H&M.
No, changing room in the shop.
Someone goes to H&M with their missus.
Right, and then they have sex.
Films it.
Yeah.
And for some reason,
that's tapped into a kink of yours.
No. The metadata, whatever it was, started suggesting if you like this, maybe you might like this as well. And I was like, what's this?
The algorithm.
The algorithm, the metadata, whatever. It was a guy, and he's got a whole series of them. He sits on a train, and he will reveal his dick. And he gets a shot of his dick in the photo, and a woman, just a random woman.
Shocked.
No, the whole point is she doesn't see it. She's looking at her phone.
Well, and you managed to climax this?
No, I just watch it out of interest. But.
Yeah, like Pete Townsend.
Yeah, I don't know.
He researched
research.
Pedophilia.
But who knew this was a thing?
Where's the book? Where is the book, Pete?
Who knew it was a thing?
Do you know about this?
I do, yeah. Pete Townsend and his book he wrote.
Yeah, well, he didn't, is it? But that's the point.
The thing.
Where is it?
God knows.
You do the research, you've got to write the book. That's the rule.
The thing is, he's done a book, and Roger Daltrey's like a massive gooner, so, you know.
They're both probably
suspect. And then the two that have survived, the other two are dead, so.
Yeah, so what do you mean, like, being a nonce gives you it, like elixir. keeps you alive longer. Oh, that's why there's so many nonsense out there that gives you life.
People live longer now.
You're taking the souls of these children and putting it into your own body. They're not sexually attracted to them. They've just figured out everlasting life. It's the nonce kids.
Jimmy Savile did get old.
Yeah, he did. He was actually 200 years old.
Gary Glitter is still alive, no?
Yeah, he's still alive. He's up there doing bits, mate. right, Duncan_19 on Twitter. He says, Glenn Johnson, former Stoke City defender, has come out in the papers and said that Harry Kane should seek a move to Manchester City. What's the most unwarranted advice you've ever given to someone? Being really serious for a second, I feel like I may, over the last 8 years of this podcast, talked about drugs in a way that may have influenced people that might have otherwise not have taken drugs to take them. And I'm regretful of it.
Wow.
That's quite a commitment. How do you even top that?
No, top it with anything else, please.
I'm trying to think. My missus disagrees with everything I say, so every single day. Pretty much every single day I give her unwarranted advice. I'm trying to think now.
What situations have you been in, Buddy?
What do you mean?
Well, no, just because T's struggling. So, what situations that have you been in where you've learnt something, not necessarily pawn it off, but learnt something for... I probably shouldn't do that again.
Stop trying to team me up, man. Team me up to bury myself. No, I've been in plenty of situations, and you learn. It makes you a better person. You're going stronger from your mistakes.
Barney, you know one story you've never told, and you've told some great stories in the pod. Is like, how did you lose your virginity?
Oh, this wasn't interesting at all. But I do remember her. so we'd done it, and it happened. It was fucking misery. Like, you know, it wasn't great at all. It was a lot of kind of fudging and trying to push it in. But I remember...
She was awake.
Yes, of course she was, for fuck's sake. But I remember her leaving my house and walking down the drive, and I was thinking... I'm a man now. I had sex with that.
Jesus Christ.
I was
Spurs could do that after this bad run's over.
Yeah, I'm a man.
I'm a man now. I've had that.
Let's take our virginity out on some fucking Liverpool players.
We're going to beat Liverpool.
Yeah, we are. All right, that's it. Fighting Cock Podcast. Do you know what? Something I was regretting, doing. It's like, not regretting, sorry. I wasn't looking forward to. I've actually enjoyed this. It's been fun.
Yeah, I said to you, it felt like a funeral when I arrived.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You said you feel like you're walking towards a funeral, giving a speech, but it turns out everyone's cracking up at the funeral.
Good alcohol happened.
Good old wake.
Yeah, it's good old wake. And ultimately, look, it's about Spurs. You know, whatever happens on the pitch, you know, Tottenham's what brings us together.
The team will endure, and we go through phases, but the team remains. And if you're Spurs, you're Spurs no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know why that rings true massively? Is I managed to deal and process the 7-2 result against Bayern Munich because Ricky was sitting next to me. And this is, I don't feel that bad about Tottenham anymore. I feel like regardless of what happens, we'll always have this.
We have each other.
Yeah. All right.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock!
A camel surname!
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
This summer, when you're on the go, stay connected to what matters most with access to over 3 million Cox Wi-Fi hotspots. Learn more at cox.com.
Ask Ashley the podcast is sponsored by Cox.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.